I want you to just give a round of applause for Mukumbi coming back. And we are really grateful to have Mukumbi. I'm gonna give you just a little bit about him before he comes up here. And part of that is because we have quite a few people here who have never, raise your hand if you have never heard Mukumbi or seen him in this church before. We got a lot of new people that haven't. Okay, good. That's good. So I'm just going to let you know a little bit about Mukumbi. Mukumbi's from Uganda. And Mukumbi came over here. It's really interesting. Mukumbi was the son of a witch doctor from a family of witch doctors. And his father died early, and so his grandfather was completing his training, and his grandfather passed away. And I'm not saying that this is a bad thing, this is a good thing, but Mukumbi never really learned the secret arts well enough. And so he was having a hard time making a living as a witch doctor, and it was difficult on him and his family, and he ended up getting hooked up with a Christian pastor because he needed help. And that Christian pastor led him to the Lord. And God changed his heart. And he learned English in order to be able to read the Bible and to share Christ. And God gave him a burden to take the gospel to the Muslim community, because a large part of Uganda has a large Muslim community. And so he taught himself, I want you to think about this, he taught himself to read English, that's no feat, and to speak English. He taught himself how to read Arabic, so that he could relate and he could read the Quran and understand how to interact with the Muslim community there. And he started a church, which at the first time when he started it, it was really him, his wife, and two other ladies. And so for years, Mukumbi labored trying to do God's will in a very hostile environment before they had their first real community convert. And when they had that first community convert, things started to move, because when a Muslim comes to the Lord, they don't have their family anymore. They might be killed, but they certainly are not going to stay in the house anymore. And so it created a problem as his church started to grow and people started coming to the Lord. Mukumbi had to be able to help them survive, because a lot of women were coming and they had no, so they started doing different things and the church started growing. This is a picture of his church 2 years ago, and it's growing now. It says they have three services now. And so it's just amazing how the gospel has spread through that place. And part of it is before COVID, and he may tell you a little bit about afterwards, but before COVID, there was 80 to 85% unemployment when we would come there. So there's a lot of poverty. They need each other. It's hard to get by. And he would provide things like they have a chicken farm there. They transferred some land into fish ponds. They grow eucalyptus trees. They're always doing building projects. As a matter of fact, he told me that they're looking now at building a hospital. But they did things for the community to help the community survive, which made being a Christian something that people looked at differently, and they were able to come in contact with people who had the Lord in their hearts to realize this is not just a different place, but it is a different heart that they live in. Some of you were there when they first started building the dormitories here for the school and for the orphanage, and these are just some of the kids and some of the classrooms. All of this stuff has been built throughout the area that he's in. These children have been brought into a place. Here's the school kitchen. Here's the school meals being prepared. The well that they built at the orphanage. Medical clinics to try to help the community, because it's just it's very, very difficult for people to get care and things like that. And he offers these things as a way to make contacts to be able to lead people to Christ. And the people who've been, we've got quite a few people who've been on mission trips over there when we've gone over together as our church. Those kids, those youth that they have who sacrifice and leave work and go without pay in order to serve and to share the gospel, they are committed and they know how to share it. And they are well-trained, devoted people who seek and save the lost. They will do medical clinics and things like that and have crusades for Christ. This is an old statistic because last time he came, he didn't come last year. Mukumbi has been coming since I've known him over 20 years. And at that time, the church started to grow, and what they would do is they would train up these young men who feel called to preach, and they would give them a motorcycle, and they would try to go out and let them go into the community and establish a little church. Then they'd try to come and do a little crusade and build the church up after they had people in there. And they had 156 churches last time he was here. And that started with four people in a little house church. And it's been amazing the things that God has done. Oh, I want to say one more thing before he goes. Because a lot of people in here realize this, but some of you don't. Mukumbi doesn't have a mission board. Mukumbi's not attached to a denomination. Mukumbi felt God was calling him to come to the United States, and why in the world he would pick Chattanooga out, I have no idea. Why not go to New York City or Atlanta, whatever? He came to Chattanooga. And he was met by the guy who ran the ministry for police officers, which Will Lassiter knows, and was in the same office building as my father, who both were, Will was a member of this church, and my father was a good friend of the former pastor, Mike McGinnis. And so he got introduced and he came here. He's here in America. You know how many churches he's going to? One. We're the partners that have helped him build these things. And he's got some other people who know and have been around him. As a matter of fact, I'll just tell you this story before I bring him up. I don't want to take too much of his time, but I'm going to tell you this one story. He came here just Mukumbi. And as a matter of fact, I'm not going to tell you, some of you know the story of how he applied for his application. He had $5 when he applied for a visa to come to the United States or a passport to come to the United States. And the guy laughed at him. But he thought, okay, and Mukumbi didn't realize what he was doing. And he said, you're going to the United States with $5? And Mukumbi said, yes, thank you very much. And so he just gave him the passport. And he's just following God. And he's come here and he's connected him with Eastwood. And he is part of our family here. And we love him very much. And we're grateful for what he has done. But good friends over the year. He's my brother in Christ. But we welcome him with Christian love and great joy and give him the honor that people like him deserve. That's Philippians 2:29. So as Mukumbi comes up here, let's welcome him as God would want us to.
Wow.
Thank you. And you know, I'm going to put one other thing I'm going to mention that I didn't mention before. And that is, some of you know this and some of you don't, but Mukumbi carries some shrapnel in his shoulder. First time that he came to speak in this church, his wife was not with him because someone had rolled a hand grenade down the aisle of their church. It had killed a child, injured his wife, and so Mukumbi has fearlessly serve God. And Mukumbi, I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions here.
Please.
But before I do, I'm going to let you just whatever words you want to say of thanks to our congregation and our relationship, I'll let you do that.
Good morning, church. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for extend those, you know, in a sacrificial manner to reach to our people. Thank you so much. And it's always our prayer. And we mention the name of this church daily in our prayer. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, Mukumbi, I've got a couple of questions that I'm going to ask you right here. And the first one is, what challenges, because I know, you know, you've had a lot of challenges as you've shared Christ and helped Christ build that kingdom in Uganda, but this year you couldn't even come here, and it's been tough. So what are the challenges that you have been facing as you seek to to shine God's truth and God's love in your community.
Pastor, there are several challenges, but the challenges we have encountered and we are still encountering, especially during this COVID, you know, pandemic, are quite tricky, if I can use that word. Like, our people, they are right in the middle of the road. They are confused. They don't know what's next. They don't know what life holds for them. So they are confused, and I would say they have reached to a point where they don't even know what they need or what they want. So that's a great challenge. And it's not about food, because if it was about food, you would be able to, you know, to find ways how you can provide. But this is something which is mentally,
spiritually,
or spiritual, something which is spiritual. They are disturbed. They are confused. Because it's not only submerging our country alone, but it is submerging or covering the entire world. So they are so confused, and such people are too difficult to reach out, because they tend to have these questions. Now, Pastor, you say God loves us, and why did he let this happen? Pastor, you say God is more powerful, or God is a great God, and you say that all these ideas and fightings of the devil. Now, if God was great, or was greater, was more powerful, how did all this happen? Where did they go through? Where was he? So those are such questions these people are asking, and all that lead to the hardship or to the difficulties, you know, how to reach these people. So those are the challenges. And the second challenge is these people, you know, in order to eat, to provide for their people, they have to work. And here is, they are not allowed to, you know, to move there or there. They are restricted. They are more confined in one place. Others have gardens, but they can't go to their gardens to get food. So those are challenges. The third would be, of course, this is happening even here, but the third challenge is about the schools. I know even your schools were closed, you know, during the lockdown. But what is happening is there is a closed door, if I can use those words. This is in the entire country for the future, because when they closed the schools, of course, all kids had to go back to their homes, to their families. Now, these are families who cannot support their children, you know, their families. They can't put bread on the tables before their kids. And the children, especially the children from the age 13 and way over, you know, they are, especially the girls, They are needy, no food, nothing. And do you know what is happening? Crime has gone up as these girls are raped. These girls are taken advantage of, and a big number of them, they are pregnant. So the hope for our country is somewhere, it's not clear. So that's another challenge. The crime rate has gone up because people are not working, and those ones who are working, because even before COVID, 85% is unemployed in our country. Now, after the COVID, or during the COVID, even the 15, leave alone these big politicians, had to stay at home. So now, the crime rate shoot up, killing, robbery, stealing, just name it. So all those are challenges we are now encountering in our country. So as a church, or as Christians, or as workers, or evangelists, we find it hard to penetrate the hearts of our people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, and I'm just going to kind of put this, because we've had conversations beyond it, but what you just mentioned at the end, all of those are factors that are hardening people's hearts.
Yes, sir.
And what they're witnessing in their country, and he told me this. He said he'll go out sometimes, and he'll just walk out, and there'll be people fighting. They just break out in fights, and he'll come and he'll say, "Why are you fighting?" And they'll say, "Because they're of a different tribe than I am."
Yes, and that's another challenge also. There's a lot of tribalism. The tribalism, has gone way up, and this has not happened. It used to be there, but it was so, it was silent. One will not just come direct to you and accuse you because you belong to this tribe, I'll do this against you, But that is almost everywhere in the country. So that's also another challenge.
So he's dealing with people who have hard hearts, they're angry, they're hatred is coming up for other group, any people that are not like them, and they're just experiencing a lot of division, which makes people skeptical of one another and very difficult to have the same conversations that he had in the past. So I'm going to ask you the next question here. How are you responding to these challenges, and how are you striving to equip your people to fulfill the calling that they have as ambassadors of Christ? Because I know that that's in their hearts. I know that that's what they have been doing in the past. I know that's what they're still doing. But what adjustments have you made, or how are you responding to these new challenges?
Okay, before COVID, or before this pandemic, we are doing two major things. That was reaching out and discipling. We train people to reach out to the lost. So those were the two things we are doing. And whatever we could do, like child sponsorship, school, just name it, fishing and everything, we were doing it to help us to reach out and to disciple, or to train workers who got to reach out. But now we have added on a third thing. That is, as we are reaching out, before we reach out to these disciples or people we are training, these are born again, we are trained to reach out, we have added on a third thing, that is to establish or to bring hope. Is that the right word?
Encourage.
To encourage them. In fact, we have made it, it's now the huge thing, because even the church, you know, our church members, they can go out, they can come to church, they can praise, they can get involved in all Christian activities, but deep inside of them, there is that thing of discouragement. They are discouraged. It's more like somebody, you know, you trusted, you believed, led you to go somewhere. And all of a sudden, as you are going, you are depending on him, you know, you are certain that you get on the other side, then something stops him. And then, you know, you find him there seated and say, "Aren't we going on the other side?" "Yes, but there's this big river. I don't know how to cross it." So that's the thing which is happening into the hearts of these people. So what I'm doing, I make sure that I stir these people up and try to use scriptures to awaken them. Like, let me give you an example, the way how I strengthen or encourage these people. There's a scripture in the book of Daniel which says that this man or this group of people, they will take away or they will stop the evening sacrifice. So now, I tell these people that we are now in the evening moment. The day is right behind us, and the night is ahead of us. Now we are in the evening time. When you are in the evening time, it is a kind of a trance. You've just left the daytime, and you are about to enter into the dark time. Now I tell them that this evening time, who created that darkness? I tell them it's not our God, that's the devil. There is that dark which is ahead of us. Now we are in the evening, and now this man will take out this evening the sacrifice. I tell them that the sacrifice is the praising, the worshiping, and the reaching out. Then I tell them, this, what you see now, this right moment as we are in this transit, the devil is trying to do something. And what he's doing, he's not doing it purposely to the business people or, you know, to destroy the businesses or the economies and so forth, but he's trying to stop, to hinder, or to frustrate the church so that when the church is put on hold, then he'll be able to do whatever he wants to make sure that the dark, you know, is in place. But we thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for the angels, you know, God has ordained for, you know, to us. We thank God, you know, so I speak to them that God is so great that he is, you know, he will not allow the enemy to fulfill whatever he wants to do. Then I tell them that we have to move on. Still, even if we do not have anything, even if we don't eat, even if we have nothing to put on, still our God is God, and we'll make it on the other side. And then I tell them that what you see is scripture, and it's not eternal, because the Bible says that whatever we see is subject to change, but what we don't see is real. So please don't be discouraged of what you are seeing. Don't be discouraged of of this COVID or whatever. We have to move on, and there is a great harvest which is waiting for us, ahead of us. So please, I come up with such topics, and and then when we get out to the heathen are the same. They have lost hope, they are discouraged, you know, they are completely down, thinking maybe it's the end. Then we speak to them, these people speak to them using almost the same words or the same encouragement I gave to them, that no, there is still hope. This is just for a short time. It's for a short period. Even if it will not get out of the way, still Jesus is waiting for you on the other side. So those are some of the words I use in order to encourage these people so that they can, you know. And what I've seen positive results. People, you know, have raised up. Our church is now almost doubled, because now we do 4 services every Sunday, and the church is packed up. Only that, this last year, and even part of this year, we have not planted any new church because of the situation. But we are moving on.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And let me just, because the culture, those of you who've been to this culture realize that it's like going to a different world. And so let me just kind of relate it back to us right here, the same challenges we have. You know, there's a lot of questioning and hopelessness and what's the future going to be in our society too. And there's a lot of people who are upset, a lot of people who are not sure what the future is. We see a lot of division between people. We see people moving into groups. We see people blaming the other group for the problems. Things are very divided. We see people expressing more hatred openly than we've ever seen in our society. People may have felt things like that, but they didn't say them out loud. Now, you know, we are in a very, very divisive place, and people's hearts have become harder. And the church needs to realize that yes, this is a dark period right here, but God is still working, and he's going to bring the day. And the church, it's more important for us right now to not lose hope and be discouraged and lose the vision of what God wants us to do, and just look and say, hey, if I step out and if I say things, if I do this, I'm going to get blasted. I got to step back and protect myself. Let me withdraw Christ's presence from this world. Well, then it's really dark. And what we have to do is we have to realize that God has put us there not to tell people who won't listen what they don't want to hear, but God has put us there in the midst of things that are happening so that as we live in love and we engage with people, that they can see there's something inside our hearts that they don't have inside of theirs and they don't see in the world, and that hope comes from Christ. And they're in a totally different world where they're surrounded by witch doctors and demons and spirits and things that are not part of our culture. But the heart of man is similar. And the hatred and the selfishness and the division and the separation and the blaming and all of the ungodly things that come in the heart of people, we experience them in a different culture, but we're fighting that same battle, and Christ wants to set us free. I have one more thing that I want to do, and really what I want you to do is just to see Mukumbi's heart. I mean, we've known each other for a long time, and our hearts are one. We're from different cultures, but our hearts are one. And one of the great things that you heard him mention is Scripture. You know, we know, because we've been over there and we've talked and we've even done training sessions over there, but Mukumbi bases what he's doing off of the Bible. And there's a lot of denominational problems around him and things like that, but they teach and following the Bible and letting God be the guide. And what I want you to do is just give us one example so they can just catch a little picture of the type of way that you as an individual minister. I want to just ask you to give us one example of how God has used you in bringing someone to the kingdom. Yeah. So just go ahead.
Yeah, what I would like to say is we don't need to lose heart. No. This is, even if it came to stay, that will not make any difference. God is still our God, and he's still our Father. And what I've realized, or what I've come to know, is here, God, we are Christ's ambassadors. Each one of us, we are here to help these non-believers to come to know to Christ. And so then the world, you know, God will take it to wherever he wants to, and for us, we just go to be with him. Now, during this COVID, Pastor, it is something which is very surprised. It surprised me too, because I remember during the COVID lockdown, I could not go to the school. The school is about 35 miles from the church. We could not visit each other, but we people could come at the church, not in big numbers, for prayers, you know, to encourage them, strengthen them, send them scriptures and so forth. Then one day, I said, no, I think I need to go see what is happening to the school. Of course, no teachers, nobody is there except the caretaker, the groundkeeper. There are two guys, and then the watchmen, there are two. So there are four. So I wanted to go there and check on them if they still have some food and everything. So I had to seek for a kind of a sticker. So I approached a friend. He's a big man in the government, and he provided me a sticker. I put it on my pickup. So I drove down there. Now, I pulled into the community. Now, as I pulled into the community, from a distance, I saw a lady. She crossed from this side to the other side. For us, we keep left. So I drove. As I was approaching her, she tried to stop me. Then I stopped and I pulled down the side window and said, I said, "Ma'am, how can I help you?" Say, "Oh, Pastor. I said, "Yes. How did you make it here?" I said, "My Jesus did." So she said, "Please, can you help me?" I said, "I think I can. How would you like me to help you?" "My husband needs to go to hospital. Can you help me to take him? He has been sick for a while." I said, "Okay." Then I said, "Okay, I can't, but let me get to the school, then I'll come back. Can you wait?" She said, "Please, I will." So I spent some 5 to 10 minutes at the school, then I came back. I said, "Okay, let's go." She sat in the passenger seat. We drove to their house. It's a small thatched house, almost falling. So I followed her. We entered into the house, and the man was almost dead because he was so thin. And I said, "Is this the guy, the man you told me that he's sick? He's almost dead." He said, "Yes." "And why couldn't you take him to the hospital? Why did you wait all this time?" "I had no way, and I've been buying some small medicine from he could not walk, so I got him up. I put him in the back seat. I drove him to the hospital, which is about 10 miles away on the other side. So we got to the hospital, and he was admitted. So I left them there. I went back. Now a week or so, I said, "Let me go and check over these people, what is happening." So I drove back to the hospital. And when I pulled in, and here was the same lady. She was seated in the, in the porch, and she was looking at my pickup. I don't know whether she knew I was the one. So I opened the door. I walked out. I said, "Oh, Pastor." But before I picked up the husband, she said, "This is by coincidence that, Pastor, you are in our community." I said, "No, it's not by coincidence." Said, "If it's not, why then? What is it then?" I said, "I think Jesus planned it, that this day You crossed the road the way you crossed it, and you stood on that side as I am pulling in, then you will talk to me. So it's God's plan. So now, when, you know, on that day when I went to, you know, to see them at the hospital, when I walked out of the car, she said, "Oh, Pastor, you are here." And then I said, "I hope it's not by coincidence." She said, "Yes, this time it's not by coincidence, because you taught me a lesson." I said, "Okay, good. So it's God's plan." She said, "Sure, it's God's plan." Then I said, "Now, what are you up to? What's going on?" She said, "And I'm so surprised how you knew that we are discharged from the hospital today." I said, "Today? Yes. And you are now going home? Yes. And I'm the one who brought you to the hospital. So I have to take you back to your home." She said, "If you are willing." I said, "No, it's not that I'm willing, but you would say, if it is the will of God, say that. If it's the will of God." Then I said, "Yeah, yes, you did it." So I said, "Now, are you ready?" She said, "Yeah, but until we owe some, you know, a bill at the hospital." I said, "How much? Where are you going to get the money?" She said, "I don't know. How much is it?" It was around $60, American $60. So I said, "Give me the bill." So I went to and I paid that bill. And I said, "Okay, now, so let us go." And she looked at me and said, "Pastor, you've paid the bill? How do you call this man? Is he, are we related to you?" Of course, if you were related to him, I should have known it by, you know, some time back, but you are not related to him at all. Neither are you related to me. We don't, you know, you don't know us. And okay, for me, I know you because I see you. But so I said, "No, just Jesus took care of that." So we drove back. Now, when we arrived, we went talking, the husband and this lady talking here and there, you know, different things. Then the husband said, "But Pastor, I want to get saved." I said, "What?" "I want to give my life to Jesus." I said, "Why? I've not preached to you. I've not shared the gospel to you." He said, "Yeah, not because of what you've done for us, for me, that you've paid the bill, you took me to the hospital, now you are taking me back home. Not because of that. Anybody can do it. But because of your heart, I want your Jesus to give me that same heart he gave to you." I said, "What?" Then all of a sudden, I knew that God was working into the life of this man. Something I learned from that day, despite of what is happening, God is out there saving people. If you can, we can avail ourselves and we look beyond what or our circumstances or what we are going through, what we are experiencing, and hook up with him. He's ready to do great things to the people. So I thank God for what he's doing. That's, you know, that man got saved, his wife got saved, and now when we go, of course, there's no church in that community. When we'll go there, we will see how we can start. And we hate starting a fellowship in the school because the ministry may not like it, you know, it, and even it may not be good. So I'm planning when I'll go back, we want to put up, you know, hands together and see how we can put up a temporary structure on our school property on the other side of this community where this couple live. And I know, who knows, maybe these people, one day they will come pastors. So that's what God is doing in the community.
And really, that's just the story over and over with different faces and different circumstances. But one of the things that we noticed when we went over there with the young people that you've trained, which you've trained so well, is that they know that they have to show the love of Christ. But they also know that the person they're loving has to know that they're a Christian. They have to know that they're doing it because of Christ. And you do that very well, and you see the Holy Spirit moving. And we're grateful. So I'm going to let you sit down.
Amen.
And we're grateful that you shared with us. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just going to read this verse from Philippians 1:5. It says, "You've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now." And I remember when Jonathan and I and some of the rest of you, Tom and Jacob and just a bunch of the rest of you, Tim and stuff, were over there, that one time right before we left, he said, "Now, when you see in heaven a whole big line of black faces behind you, don't be surprised, and don't wonder who they are, because they're your brothers and sisters that are in the kingdom because of your partnering with us." And so I just want you to know that we do like we always do. We don't pressure people to give money to different things, but we know that Christian people, God gives us hearts to want to do things, and so just like we always do, we will have open for and you, some people support whenever they want, but we will have open for the next month a time that if you feel called to give to Macumbi, that you can just put Macumbi on that and put it in there. And at the end of the month, like on, I think it's May 23rd, which is a month from now, then like we always do, we'll send him another check. But we are grateful for you and for your work. We're grateful to be a part of it. And if we can get our band to come up here, let me just pray for us, and then we will we'll end worshiping the Lord. Father, we are grateful to see your hand, both on Tim and on Macumbi as well. And we're amazed to see the things that you can do and the power of your Holy Spirit to be working in so many places that we are completely unaware of. But if we just join you in your work, we can see great things. And Father, we're grateful for the things that you've done in Eastern Europe and in South America and in Africa. And we're grateful for the things you're doing here. And we want not only to be a part of what you're doing around the world, but we also want to be a part of seeing those things happen in our families and in our community. And so we ask your Holy Spirit to be with Tim and with Macumbi and with all the people who are Christians working with them and around the world. And also we ask your Spirit to be with us and to just give us an encouragement and a strength to be bolder in being transparent, in loving and sharing with those around us. And we're here to worship you because you are our Savior and you are the answer to the world and what it needs today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.